Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone calls today at New Life Live. Glad you're with us today for New Life.
What do I do to have a real, honest relationship with my sister?
I'm just suffering right now.
I just feel so betrayed.
Yeah. Of course. Oh.
And I just don't know what to do right now.
How do I help her and me through this? How do I get to a stronger place? Because she really is the love of my life.
You feel a lot of emotion about this.
Yes, sir.
I would say...
too much information.
Yeah. Let's get a cup of coffee.
You say too much information.
Happy talk.
You treat her as best as she will allow herself to be treated.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. We were just in the midst of a discussion with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard that these things, these big headphones, a lot of people don't wear these anymore. Now, I have seen some people on television of an airing of a radio show wear them, but
yeah, it but, since the 90s,
yeah, but
since
you know, if somebody is offended by the way it looks, they could donate money for what little tiny baby ones.
If you don't believe that New Life watches every penny,
then look at
the televised version of this show, and you will see.
You know, I flew in today, and at Brookstone they have flat ones.
Flat ones.
Yeah. They're rectangles that cover the ears. It would look much, much better.
Anything would look better than this. Jill actually looks good, though.
It gives kind of a bad hair day.
Well, Jill's really attractive anyway, right?
Thank you.
But you know who you look like right there with the headphones?
Who?
One of those infomercials where it says, our phones are standing by, waiting for your. You kind of look like you could.
Oh, what is that? 1-800 dentist
or
something?
Yeah.
I think 1-800 dentist.
Thanks, guys.
They always have the pretty girl on there, and she's taking your call, and there you go.
But I doubt that she's written books or has a PhD.
Probably wouldn't be in that same job if that's what she was doing.
All right. So
unless do you do that? You work infomercial.
Yeah. No? Yeah, moonlighting, Henry.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to go to the phones right here. Look at this. Trina's calling from Indiana, Pennsylvania. Is that right?
Yes.
You live in two states. Okay. How could we help you?
Well, I want to know, first of all, I want to say God bless you all for what you do. That's just marvelous and wonderful.
Thank you.
So many people.
Thank you.
Yes. But I've been married to this man for 10 years. 3 months after we were married, he comes home from work and says he's an atheist. And up until this time, we were praying together, reading the Bible together. And then he says he's an atheist, won't let me listen to the radio in the house because I always listen to Christian broadcasts. Mm. Says there's no such man as Jesus. He was a man, but he's not God's son. He doesn't really know if he believes in God, and the Bible was written by man. So...
wow.
I want to know how I can honor God in my marriage. That's my big question, because he's been diagnosed bipolar, schizoaffective, OCD, and he's an addict, and I just...
what kind of addict is he?
He's addicted to marijuana and has tried many other drugs throughout his life. So,
man, did he ever do a bait and switch on you,
really.
Huh?
And
it happens. It happens. A lot of people don't realize it. It really does.
Yeah, and it's awful because, I mean, I didn't know whether I should get an annulment after 3 months. I mean, it's been 10 years now, and he moves out occasionally. He's moved out again. This is the fourth time he's moved out on.
You guys have kids?
No, we do not. We're both 56 years old, so we've had prior families.
Well, I'm so sorry. What's the question for us going to be?
The question is, how do I glorify God in my marriage? He's now asking for a divorce. He's moved out for the fourth time. And he says he wants a divorce. However, when he's on an even keel, he begs me not to give up on him. So I've been restless in my sleep for the last 3 nights because I feel as though God wants me to do something, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if he does want me to go through with the divorce And I know that divorce is not, not really the answer.
We are going to give you an answer. It might be kind of surprising. We'll be back after this.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Denham November 1st through the 3rd in Southern California. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Talking to Trina, and her husband has asked for a divorce and then pleads for her not to do it. And all sorts of diagnoses, and he's an addict.
And Trina, I was going to ask you, who's given him these diagnoses?
He has been seen by the Veterans Administration now, as well as his son, who is also diagnosed as bipolar, had convinced him that he needed to go and get help. And this was probably 2 years ago.
And is he getting help now?
He still goes to the Veterans Administration. But he only takes his medicine when he feels like he needs it, and then, of course, he doesn't take it, and he gets into this mode of it's kind of an abuse mode. He says he grew up with a father that was verbally abusive to him, and I had also been explained, it was explained to me that since he goes on a 3-month binge where he's straight and you wouldn't want a better person around, and after about 3 months, 3.5 months, he just falls all apart and becomes a different person.
Well, let me just say this. At the break, Henry called it. I mean, he said, it sounds like this is a guy who is not complying with the treatment mm-hmm. that's been prescribed. And then you right. say, essentially, that's what it is.
Yeah. And he's been, someone said that's narcissistic personality trait, where they can hold it together for 3 months and they're really not that person.
No, what you're describing, I mean, schizoaffective is that he alternates between being bipolar and being psychotic. And so, therefore, he needs medication to stabilize him in a consistent right. treatment.
And so, when these 3 months go well, is he on his medicine then? Is that what you said?
It seems like when he's on his medicine and he keeps taking it on a regular basis, he can hold it together.
Yeah, is that when he's telling you, don't give up on me, you know?
When he's telling me, don't give up on me.
All right, Trina, have you been in with him to see the doctor?
Yes.
Okay, and what does the doctor tell you?
The doctor, I kind of more or less get the feeling that I'm there to tell the doctor when he's kind of going astray or going off-center, because then the doctor can say, okay, well, Carl, you need to do this then, or you need to try that.
He doesn't normally tell me
to do anything.
Let me make a suggestion, because it sounds like one of the possibilities is that there is a regimen that restores stability to him, right? If he's taking his medicine, he's doing all the right things. But what happens is, like a lot of people, they start to, you know, they'll start to feel good and say, oh, I don't need this medicine. You see, you know, bipolar people do that. I feel fine. Well, the reason they feel fine is because they're doing the treatment.
Yeah.
So then they stop the treatment, and, you know, it all goes down the tube. So here's what I would suggest. If, you know, when he's saying, don't give up on me, you know, I want the relationship. Then say to him, I don't want to give up on the relationship, but here's what I've given up on. I've given up on you being able to manage this by yourself.
And I've given up on what we've been doing is giving us long-term stability. So I want us to go in to the doctor now while you're okay, and let's get a plan together so you have more structure than you have. It probably needs more counseling and a group and a bunch of other stuff. But we also have a plan of what to do when you start to get goofy, because this is a slide, right? It's not overnight. Yeah. And so when you start to seeing the signs, then at that point, you call the sponsor, you call the psychiatrist, you know, you take him to the group, whatever. So you have a plan, and that way you can add stability to this.
Well, and you tell him, Trina, that you, you know, when he's in his good state, you are for him, and you want to come alongside of him, and that this is the man that you want to try with and you want to give more time to. When he goes to that other place, you can't reach him, and you don't recognize him.
Right. That's why it's got to be done with his consent while he's, you know, in his right mind.
Right.
And the thing is, relapse isn't that craziness after 3.5 months. Relapse is the first day he doesn't take the medication.
Right.
And that's when you've got to have a system where you know – he didn't take his medication today, and so I hope that you will be able to intervene at that stage, not at the catastrophe stage. All right. I'm glad that you called. And
he might be listening more at that stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to send you Henry's book, How People Grow, and I hope that that's going to be a blessing to you, and hang in there with him. Boy, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go to Debbie. Debbie's calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Hello, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. What's going on?
Good. I have a 14-year-old who was offered, he's been going to Christian schools all his life, and now he just went to a public high school, and he's been offered drugs to sell. What do I do in that situation? I just found out accidentally, he didn't tell me, and I'm just asking, what do I do in that situation?
Have you started
the school like in August.
Okay. Have you talked to the principal about your concern?
No. I just found that out this week, and he's saying he'll never do it again. He had no clue that it's against the law, and he didn't see anything wrong with
it. Wait a second. So he actually sold the drugs?
No, he didn't. He took it from the people, and I found it in his possession.
So he
flushed it down the toilet and said it'll never happen again.
Mm. Well, one thing I'd be concerned if he took drugs from somebody to sell it, then they're going to be coming to him for money.
Don't you think they're going to expect something back from him?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is where, like, you know, the police and the principal.
You want to make an impression.
He may need protecting.
Should he or should she have him tell the principal and the authorities who gave him the drugs?
Because he said the kids are selling it to them, giving it to them. They're walking all over school. They have it's a public school. It's a high school.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't tell. He said they're all over the place. So I'm not sure exactly where they were, where they gave it to him, and who to approach with this.
Well,
so it doesn't call attention to.
Yeah, I think you have to protect him in the process, but you have to talk to the authority there.
Right,
at the
you may want to do the groundwork first,
this.
So that would keep him out of the loop initially and find out the information.
This is not a safe place for him.
And what was the consequence of him doing this? Because, you know,
why did he say yes?
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting the full picture. I hope you know that. He's trying to cover himself. But what was the consequence you instituted?
What was the consequence?
Did you give him a consequence for?
Oh, yes.
What was that?
I took his phone away, and I told him the next time this happens, if I see him with any, I'm going to the police because it's illegal. And he said, are you going to tell the police about me? I said, I have to because it's against the law. If you're doing this is not acceptable. But his excuse was that he was trying to make money.
All drug dealers are trying to make money.
I tell you, I wish you hadn't said next time, because what needs to happen is you need to go to the police, need to go to the principal, and try to protect the other kids.
Well, and I would take him like to an AA meeting or something, speaker's meeting, and let him hear, let him talk to some people.
Would have not just punishment, but some redemptive kinds of things that you could do with him. And I'm glad that you called. All right, we're going to talk with Nancy from Montebello, California. She listens on KKLA. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
I've been separated for about 8 months. My husband has been a sex addict for the past 22 years. He's been an addict and been inappropriate with a dozen of friends of mine. And unfortunately, I have lost a lot of friends because of it. And I mean, I can see that they weren't really my friends.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. But you know, we've been working through this. This is our third separation this time. And, you know, he's been going to meetings and he's been seeing a counselor and he's been doing the work. And so have I. I've been to codependency. I've been to Essanon. I've been to a bunch of just everything that I could to try to help my husband in any way that I can.
Okay.
And finally, this last time was just what broke the camel's back.
What happened?
We were living with my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, and a few months ago I found out that my sister-in-law and him were having an affair.
Oh, dear.
Aww. Wow.
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And
who,
you know,
who's the brother of whom? Who?
Yeah, how's...
What are the...
What's the relation?
His brother's wife.
His brother's wife.
His brother's wife.
Ooh, and this is actually the third brother's wife that he's had an affair with.
Three?
Why did they let you guys move in?
Well, we had just sold our home, and we didn't have any place to go, and we were waiting for a short sale to come through. Okay. So we were waiting for that, and it took longer than we expected.
He's had affairs with three of his own brother's wives?
Yeah.
And then this one lets him move in, and he has an affair with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Does everybody know about
Everybody
this?
Knows.
Everyone knows. What happened was that I received the messages on my iPad, and for some weird reason, I had prayed the night before, and I had asked, you know, I was asking God to show me what, you know, why we had not gotten our home. And the next day, I received his messages between both of them that they were talking, and I received everything, you know, her telling her that she would do anything to satisfy him. And I found naked pictures of me in there that he was sharing with her.
Oh, dear.
Wow.
Okay. So what is the question?
Nancy. What is his... I'm sorry, but I just have to know the answer to this. What are the brothers doing?
Yeah.
One of the first brothers was upset over the first wife, and then the second one he decided to share with him.
Okay. This is why there's so much... appearance of denial in the family because
there's a lot of it. Yeah,
a everyone sex addict family.
When my brother-in-law found out, this other brother-in-law found out, he's still with her. There was no consequences. There was nothing. Everyone just decides not to talk about it and just, you know.
Wow.
So
what's your question for us?
How can we help you?
I just need to know if this is a necessary ending. I need to know if this is it. Like, I don't think that I can do anymore. I've done it all.
Yeah.
I've prayed on it. I've done everything that I could, and I'm just to the point where I'm ready to stop. I started attending domestic violence meetings, and, you know, I feel that they apply to me very much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just feel that it's time for me to stop. And he's begging, and he's still in recovery, according to him, and he's asking me to go to your workshop, one of your marriage encounters.
Mm. Well,
and I just don't see...
Don't want to do it. Well, let's talk to the author of Necessary Endings and see what he's thinking as he hears this. I mean, you know, we've never had a call like this before. Three wives of three brothers.
Nancy, do you have kids, real quick?
I do.
You do?
I have three, and we lost one.
Mm.
Okay, wow.
So sorry. Yeah. When did you lose a child?
3 years ago.
Nancy, you have just really been through it.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
How are you?
I'm destroyed. I'm destroyed, but I have picked myself up quite a bit, and I think that God has really shown me different ways of dealing with it, and I've been stronger than I have ever been before. Mm. I was hoping that it wasn't going to end this way, but, you know.
Well, you have been patient, and you have been,
I have.
You've tried, but it hasn't produced anything.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
He's a very sick man.
It's a sick family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nancy, you hear that music?
Yeah.
You know what that means. Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay. And we will talk to you after the break. And our heart goes out to you. And no matter which direction you go, I'd just like to ask our listeners right now to lift up Nancy in this situation.
Yeah, good. Yeah. All right. Just a little moment of prayer there for you, Nancy, and your persevering spirit. We'll take this break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live right after this. Stay tuned.
Two years ago, we took 120 people to the Holy Land.
It was an incredible adventure for us. For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me.
Once you go and see and do and touch and feel, there's just a connection that you just can't explain.
We're going to Israel again in 2014. We're going to go June the 2nd through the 12th. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, visiting the Wailing Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, Bethlehem, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas's house, and more. Then from the 13th to the 15th, if you stay with us, we're going to go to Petra, to Mount Nebo, and to Amman.
It is probably one of the best crash courses in Bible you would ever have in your whole life.
Call Gill Travel at 1-800-223-3855. You can also get that off of our website. Ask for Donna.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right, we're talking with Nancy, and she wants to know, is this time for a necessary ending after all she's been through with this guy?
Nancy, what's he doing now?
He's in counseling. He's in counseling, and he's also going to a man's group. This is the same man's group that he was going to while he was having an affair with her.
And what does the man's group say about that?
Well, they're lifting him up now. They're trying to keep him out of the shame mode, and they're encouraging him to go forward and to keep trying and to, you know, try to get me back and try to work it out.
So he goes to, what is it, once a week counseling?
It's once a week men's group and once a week counseling, yes.
Okay. And that's what he was doing when he was doing the doing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So here's what we know. We know that what he's doing now is not enough. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Before you, or I should say it another way, when you are trying to figure out when is there any kind of hope and when is there not, one of the things you have to look at, and if you, when you said necessary endings, have you read my book?
I haven't. I've been
wanting to buy it, but I haven't read
okay.
it yet.
Well, I would suggest you get it, and I would suggest that you sit down and look specifically. There's a whole section in there of when do you have hope and when do you give up hope. And what it does is it outlines, you know, very specific steps for you to see that are in place. And one of the things, the very first step, or one of the first few, is if you're going to have hope, it's because somebody has got to be invested and compliant with and engaged in and utilizing a proven change process. Okay? Now, when you're talking about a sex addict that is having the kind of acting out that he's having, a once-a-week men's group and just counseling sounds like a squirt gun at a bonfire.
So true.
I mean, this is somebody that if there's going to be a proven change process, it looks like, you know, 24/7 SA groups and a sponsor mm-hmm. handcuffed to him that follows him around. I mean, you just got – he's got more struggle than the help that's, you know, at the table. So as you figure this out, what I would do is go through those things and see – to your and the counselor's, it's probably where the counselor, you know, you should ask if you can go in there too, where you look at that and see how satisfactory you feel like that he's engaged in all the stuff there. And if you want to give him another chance, that's the way I would do it. But if, you know, if nothing's different, you can expect the same kind of results.
You don't know if you want to.
I don't think I do. I mean, this has been too much already. Yeah,
well, I totally
understand. It's understandable. It's understandable, Nancy, and I think at some point, you know, it's like, what kind of environment do you want your children to grow up in? I mean,
and that's what I'm afraid of.
How old are the kids?
They're 15, 12, and 5.
Yeah.
Cool. And mm-hmm. what are they saying about the situation?
Well, they're all very embarrassed about it. Yeah. Of course, my youngest one doesn't know about
it. Right.
My oldest is heartbroken because we have lost a lot of our family members.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
You know, like I mentioned before, several friends have, you know, left their lives for the same reason.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they're just tired of it. My oldest one has told me to get divorced.
Yeah.
Well, you know, even though they love their father very much.
Yeah,
that's totally understandable.
And, you know, he's there for them, but he just hasn't been respecting me. And that's where the problem is. And I'm afraid that when my children get older, they're going to follow these same steps because mother accepted it.
Right, exactly. No, mm-hmm. No. You cannot accept it. That's
not
in the cards. Whether or not he gets in a program to where he gets another chance after proving himself, that's a different question. But nothing anywhere would say that you should condone or accept this. And there should be, you know, very, very clear and hard boundaries around this.
Well, and I think it's a whole program of healing and protection so that,
you know,
it's not just going to a counselor. It's
not just going
to a self-help group.
He has to deal with this whole sexualized family and where that started for him.
Yeah, and there should at least be, I mean, somebody does something like that, at least, you know, for you to say, look, we just can't be together until you're doing A, B, C, and D, and there's a track record and this and the other. Or, you know, I think everybody would understand if you say you're done.
Yeah.
But you sure, you know, you don't want to continue to do the same thing expecting different results. And what he's been throwing at this problem is not enough.
Nancy, do you sense that he is at rock bottom or that there is something different this
different
time?
Different is a key word there.
No, this is the same story.
Same
last,
stuff.
I mean, the last few times it's like, I'll recover. I'm getting into recovery. I'm changing. I'm, you know, going to church more often. I want to become a minister. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that.
Well, and the last thing he needs to do right now is become a minister. He needs to subject himself to some good ministry.
So, you know, Jesus did give you permission to leave that marriage.
Well, at least stay separated and get some space and healing for you and the kids. Maybe do some family therapy. I don't know if there's 12-step groups for children of sex addicts. I don't know if
there's
that exists,
Al-Anon.
But there's Al-Anon.
Yeah.
So something like
the
that.
Alateen.
Alateen. Something where your kids can process that.
Well, I tell you, this is sad, Nancy, and we we just pray for you. And I'm going to send you healing as a choice. I hope that that will...
Yeah, man, we understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That when you're saying, you know, you're done. We get it.
Yep. We'll be back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you mm-hmm. know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are. They give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems and where to get help and how to get help and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we are back. Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and let's go right over here and talk with Mary from Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, well, the lady said that she was having a hard time hearing my phone. So I moved. I just wanted to know if that was okay.
Good. Yeah, you healed your phone. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I haven't seen your show that much and never knew that you put it on my TV in the morning. Is it on Mondays every morning?
Yes.
Great.
Okay.
Okay. This subject has been broached, I'm sure, billions of times, but from the time of 2 to 14... I was sexually abused by my father's father.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm 55, and I can't get through it. I'm in secular counseling. I have been watching Wretched. He's been explaining how this is a God problem and not a secular counselor.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
And
who said that?
You've
been watching.
My problem is I'm on disability.
Can you hear Mary?
And I can't afford a Christian counselor.
Mary, but hold on a second.
I don't understand.
Mary, we got to ask you some clarification here. Hold on, just a second.
Who were you watching that said what?
Wretched. Todd Friel.
Oh, that's a show. Wretched.
I don't know the show.
We don't. Yeah.
Is it a counseling show or a preaching show?
No. It's he brings things to you that you might not have gotten anywhere else, like the pastor in Great Britain that got sent to jail because he was preaching morality. He was not preaching homosexuality. He was just teaching immorality. And they had a new law that said if you make any conversation or preach or say anything that makes anyone feel uncomfortable, it's against the law and you go to jail. So they took him to jail because somebody was offended.
And so this program,
things
Wretched,
like that.
Looks, he looks into stuff like that. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Things like that come up on the show. And
he
what
said,
did he say about offenses to the faith kind of thing?
Yeah, what did he say about sexual abuse?
He didn't say about that. You guys have broached it on your show.
But you brought up Wretched,
and I watched it.
You brought up Wretched, and I'm just wondering how that fits into all this.
Because he's been preaching on depression not being a counseling, a secular counseling problem.
He says it's a spiritual issue.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Depression.
And I'm bipolar.
Oh,
and I've been in a depression, I take mega amounts of medication, and I've been in depression for now about 8 months. I'm prayed. Sometimes I get so depressed, it's the word that I need, and it just takes everything inside of me to read the word because I'm so depressed.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anything.
Well,
right.
Are you married?
I'm divorced. My husband was doing what the lady before talked about.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So your question for us is what, Mary?
What do I do to get through this?
At one time
I thought I had forgiven him, and the Lord does not want me to hate him, and I know this, but I can't help it.
Of course. Yeah. Mary.
I don't know what to do.
Well, let us.
I want to go back to work.
Yeah,
years.
What kind of help?
But I don't know if this is going to get in the way.
What kind of help have you had?
Plain old regular counseling off and on since I was 10.
But what is
but
that?
But I never said anything about it till I was 27.
What does plain old regular counseling mean?
Secular.
I don't know what that means, though. What do you do when you go in there to work on the sexual abuse?
Talk about the week before and talk about, he's given me a book that's called The Courage to Heal, and some areas I can't relate to that book because I feel, I know the Lord can heal me. So it's like, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong because he's not healing me because I can't get through this? Why?
Oh, Mary.
Mary.
Sorry. Well, can...
You know, let me just say, Mary... I recently have written a book with Leslie Leyland Fields, and it's coming out in a few months here. And it really does address these issues of entering into a forgiveness process, even when those people who hurt us don't deserve that forgiveness by all human standards. And so, as you know, it kind of shows how Leslie has done it, and I come alongside her, and shows how to rise above the hurt that has happened. And it is a process. It's not an overnight thing, and you certainly have been in it. And it does require, you know, being in support, having, you know, good people around you to help you during those times. But to be able to, you know, see this person that hurt you as kind of someone other than who he was, to be able, if you can even step back and to see him in his own story of humanness and of hurt, because you need some different perspectives to start to get at that place where you can.
I will thought of contacting my cousin because he was the closest to him before he passed.
Right.
Just to find out what he went through and the stories I've heard.
One of
the stories is that he was raised by his grandmother and his great-grandmother, and it was the first brothel in San Pedro, California.
Well, that would
find out some information.
You know what, Mary?
So
that's,
maybe I can understand.
Right, that's great. It doesn't erase what he's done. You know, it doesn't make it okay, but understanding can help you walk through that process.
And Mary, just a few thoughts about all of it. You know, when you said that you had gone to counseling and, quote, you know, regular old counseling, but you talk about kind of what happened the week before and the week before that, and you go in and you kind of process the week. That's really not what cures sexual abuse trauma. And basically... it's so sad when you hear preachers talk about how this is something that God heals you of, you know, directly, and just depend on the Lord and just pray about it. When the New Testament is very, very specific about the processes that can heal sexual trauma. Basically, what happens when you are hurt like that is you are, you know, in the Bible's words, you are oppressed and you're wounded and, you know, you're abused, right? And what happens is when the Bible tells us to come alongside somebody that has been hurt in ways that they can't handle, to carry their burdens, your brain cannot process that pain. It's too big for it. And so it gets stuck in your brain. There's a portion of the brain that trauma gets stuck in. And it's like this big water balloon that's way past its capacity to drain through that little bitty opening in the balloon. It's called the amygdala gap or gate. And it can't get all that pain out. So it sits there for years, and you re-experience it in depression and anxiety and fears and a bunch of other stuff. And here's what we know, that the biblical processes of coming alongside each other and weeping with those who weep, and you processing it and talking about it and getting the hurt, and what you're feeling is the anger, you're interpreting that as unforgiveness. That's not necessarily unforgiveness. It's
That's
pain.
That's part of the forgiveness
it's
process.
It's part of the forgiveness process. Mm-hmm. See, God, to forgive mankind, God expressed his anger onto the cross. Okay? Anger is a part of the forgiveness process. So you haven't been in a place where you can talk about what this felt like, how awful it was, the feelings you had around it, the trauma of getting somebody to weep with you who weep, and getting the anger out, and all of that kind of stuff. That's what cures this, and that's what helps depression as well. And the medicine, if you're on the right medicine, can be very helpful. And if you're hearing preachers say that that's secular, it's not secular. God gives processes in the New Testament that heal this stuff. And when you do it through counseling, then, you know, whoever's sitting there weeping with those who weep, that's going to help you. So get some help. We want you to get some help.
Well, yeah. And there are free resources, too, like incest survivors groups.
Yeah, and there's churches that have adults, molested children groups, and all sorts of stuff. I want you to read my book, Changes That Heal. Okay, we'll send that to you because it addresses this.
You know, I don't know if this is helpful to you, but Matthew 18:10 says, beware of anybody that hurts one of these little ones, which is you, because he says, I tell you, their angels are in the presence of the Heavenly Father. So it didn't go unnoticed. You know, God gave us free choice, and that great grandfather, our grandfather, used choice to hurt you, but it didn't go unnoticed. And I would imagine the pain and agony he went through and the shame would be unfathomable. So anyway, we'll send you. What are we going to send you?
Changes That Heal.
Changes That Heal. Sorry you've gone through this. We'll be back after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked, just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on
people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much help there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Henry Cloud, and we need your support. We're headed toward the end of the month. We need some people to join Club New Life and be part of a giving family. $25 in celebration of our 25th anniversary. If you could help us, please, and a one-time gift, please help this ministry. And if you're thinking about a year-end gift, include us in that thinking, because we can't be here without your help. And so please think about us. There's a final 25th anniversary celebration on November the 15th in Washington, D.C. And Dr. Jill Hubbard and I are going to be there to celebrate with you, and I hope you'll join us.
Yes, please come.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE for the details. And then Every Man's Battles in Orange County on November the 8th. And let's go back to the phones. All right, this is our final call. And
Steve?
Yes?
You know, it always surprises me that you still hear that. That thing about, you know, that people that have been horribly abused and all that should just, you know, you kind of give it to God.
It's shocking.
And God's going to just take it away. When that... It's not what the New Testament says. It says that we have to weep with those who weep and heal the brokenhearted and come alongside each other. And, you know,
we
should
don't
have
get long suffering.
No, we don't get, you know, that it's just so sad. And there's so many people out there suffering under that kind of spiritual teaching when it's not what the New Testament
says.
Well,
we've made so much progress.
We have. That's why I'm still surprised.
We forget that it hasn't seeped into everyone's life. Tina from Grapevine, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I just want to say I'm a New Life member as of about a year, but I've been listening to you all for about 15 years, and it is some of the greatest advice I've heard.
Thank you.
And I'm very happy to be a supporter, and I just it's a blessing. You guys have been a real blessing. This is my question. How do I navigate the relationship with my daughter and her live-in boyfriend and his son? She has moved in with them and has been there for about a year.
How old's your daughter?
And she's 26. She is a believer. He is not. He's 30. But he is open to going to church. But my issue is that I find myself torn. Because one part of me wants them to just hurry up and get married so that it can be easier on myself and my husband as we interact with them, because the baby calls her mommy and calls us Grammy and Grandpa.
Yeah.
And then the other side of me doesn't want them to do it because I want it, you know, he's not a believer.
Yeah.
Well, I'm always torn. I feel like I'm talking out of 2,000 in my mouth.
How's your relationship with her? How do you communicate with her?
We communicate well. She lives in a different city in California, and we do communicate well. She's not real good with consistent communication.
Mm-hmm. What does she say about the relationship? Is it does she like the relationship? Is she having trouble?
She does. She does. She really she believes that this is the man she's going to marry. She wants to marry him. The only thing she says is keeping them from getting married is that she doesn't have the money to go to the Justice of the Peace. So they're pretty
well, sounds
tight
like,
with money.
Sounds like
how much does the Justice of the Peace cost?
It sounds like what?
How much does the Justice of the Peace cost?
About $65.
Okay, well, I'd just ask a practical question. If you don't have $65 to get married, how do you have the financial grounds
to do
set up a household? Yeah.
Yeah, and it is a very, very meager way that they live. And it's sometimes there is no car, so then they're on the bus. Mm. And
yeah.
Well, they have a business that they're trying to work at, but it's very meager.
I'll tell you one thing that you wouldn't lose on this. If your husband would go and take him to lunch, dinner, or breakfast and start to put into his life.
Okay.
Now that doesn't make them get married or anything, mm-hmm. but it might lead him to a place where he wants to follow what God wants.
Yeah.
Especially if he's open to going to church.
Free. Yeah, if he's open, that's a good place to start.
So, I don't know, any other suggestions other than...
Well, when you have the talk with her, Tina, about her life, does it bother her? Kind of the place they're in, they're thinking about getting married, but they can't.
Yes, I see in our communication there are times when she starts to say things, and I could see the frustration on her face, and then she'll say, "Oh, never mind," and she does get frustrated by the fact that they don't have money. They really could be doing lot differently.
But does she go past that and start to tell you about this is hard and I don't know if I want to do this and.
No. She doesn't do that, I think, because when they first got together, I expressed to her dad and my disapproval of the living situation. You know, God doesn't approve of it. We don't approve of it. You know, we didn't bring you up this way, all that kind of thing. And she was a little bit offended at first.
Yeah.
Right.
But
so you know that's not going anywhere.
He calmed her down, though. He did. He said, you know, they love you, you know, they have your best interest, and he's a nice guy, he really is, but...
Here's the caution, mm-hmm. is that when people live together, the big problem is they don't decide to get married, they slide into marriage since they're together, it's all together. So, you know, you just try to have some really deeper conversations with her about the situation.
Uh-huh. And ask a lot of questions, Tina. Mm-hmm. You know,
get her
it sounds like she doesn't take advice from you. But if you're so how is it going? What do you, if you're thinking about getting married, what does it feel like to be married in kind of the place y'all are at right now? And what does it feel like to if you want to go to church that he doesn't want to go with you? What is all that like? And just be curious. And sometimes instead of giving her advice, you're causing her to start to talk about it, which makes her own it, and she feels it, and she'll do her own work around it.
Versus having to say something profound to change someone's mind, which a lot of people think they have to do.
All right.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm sorry to cut you off there. We're out of time.
And Steve's suggestion about, you know, making a bridge to this young man
and
showing him things of faith and inviting him to church and all that kind of stuff, you know, any kind of bridges you can make.
All right. I'm going to send boundaries in marriage. I hope that will be a blessing to them. And also, I want to remind everybody, I've reminded you to please help this ministry, but also June the 2nd through the 14th, we're going to Israel and to Petra, and go on the website and look at all the details of this trip. The last time we went, spectacular. We've already had 50 people sign up. We were shocked. We thought maybe by now 10, but 50. So it's not too early to sign up, and you can take advantage of the early bird special. Other things that are happening, Church of the Redeemer, Gaithersburg, Maryland, Friday, November the 15th. That's our celebration where Dr. Hubbard and I will be there to celebrate with you. Everybody gets a free gift and cake, and that cake is excellent. So please come and join us for that. And then Every Man's Battle, don't forget, that's coming up November the 1 through the 3rd. No, that's Women in the Battle 1 through 3. Every Man's Battle happens every month. Over 11,000 guys have gone through. Thank you for all of you that support us and pray for us. We actually need prayer more than money. We really do. So you pray. See you next
Thanks
time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.